And the first work session topic today is on the regional investment strategy. It's actually the only topic today. On Parks and Nature Part 2. I like how we've named it Part 2 of a three-part discussion. So you're almost two-thirds done. Jonathan Blatcher is here to help us through this part of the conversation. So do you and Heather, are you coming up too? Nope. Okay. And do we have our facilitator? Yeah. Hi, Allison. So we're going to be facilitated today, not by me, you lucky dogs, you, but by Allison from Jean Lawson & Associates. Hey. And just to remind you, we did all the work on the back wall this last time, and we sent staff away with to have a discussion about how our prioritized dot matrix exercise, how that kind of crosswalks with already existing work that's been done in the past bond measures and how it's been discussed in the conversations going forward with the stakeholders about how it could be something in the next bond measure. And then the third conversation we'll have is based on the information that we glean out of you today on the gaps that we're seeing about whether we want to actually create a new program, redefine an existing program, add clarity to an existing program. How do we actually do this going forward and then ask staff to go back and fill in those gaps with proposals for us to take back out for discussion? Does that make sense? All right, can I turn it over to John? All right, thank you.
All right, for the record, John Blasher, Metro Parks and Nature Director, joined today by Allison Brown from JLA. She's going to be our intrepid facilitator. She also helps to facilitate the Parks and Nature Bond stakeholder table team that we have. So it's been great with that. So, yes, today is the Regional Investment Strategy Parks and Nature Bond conversation, part deux, for any of you French speakers there. So a little bit of the agenda for the day, or not the day, just a few hours, more than that. Continuation of the first conversation that we had around what were the large desired outcomes from this council, looking at desired outcomes from community partners and all the folks that we'd met with in the greater Portland area. And the second meeting, which is today, is to look at, with those outcomes that you all had identified, that the community identified, what are some potential gaps or what are some things that we might want to look at refining between what was in the previous bond of 06 and what we're looking at potentially for this year? And then in our next meeting, again, we'll get into a little bit more follow-up questions of different programmatic things you'd like staff to go and look at. So today we really just want to provide also some additional context to this discussion and hopefully give you all some other updates and reminders of how the department agency has evolved over the years and sort of where we are today. So for the agenda, we'll talk a little bit more about the outcomes, review those, talk about some of the possible gaps, allow some great time for council discussion, and we'll try to break up this presentation. So over the 20 slides or so that I have, we'll have some opportunity to sort of discuss different pieces of those slides, get a break in there to stretch legs and all those different things, and then really kind of land home on the policy questions that we'll be asking you all for guidance on and talk about next steps. So one thing I want to highlight that today we're not asking for any major decisions. We're really just hoping for some good, robust discussion, and throughout the process too, we'll just sort of check back in to do a temperature check, make sure that what we're saying and the way that we've captured the information and reporting it back makes sense and is in line with what you've asked and what you've heard. So really just sort of making sure to get some of that check-in and clarification of where we are in this process moving forward. Sound good? All right. So based on our community engagement, stakeholder table recommendations, and council direction to date, staff developed this draft of outcomes. What we heard was that council agreed with these. Generally, this all sounded like this is moving in the right direction, these are the right outcomes, but that council really wanted to focus the discussion on the two circled ones here. I guess it would help if I clicked it, so there's actually a circle, which is all the other outcomes around racial equity, water, quality, cultural significant plant communities, protecting, connecting people in nature, and investment in trails, supporting community projects, inclusive engagement, transparency, accountability, all of those are the big outcomes. But there is this opportunity to dig in a little bit more around what does it look like to make the parks and natural areas more accessible and inclusive, and what does it look like to connect more people to the land and rivers of our region. So, as one of you described it, what does it look like to put people first in this new bond measure, recognizing that there isn't a real difference between the land and the people. They go hand in hand, but there's different ways to think about how are we talking about which one first in this context. So, our understanding is that these are the right outcomes, this is the right level that we should be looking at, and that you want to have a deeper conversation to kind of clarify the access question and connecting more people. So, does that sound right? Question?
We're open for discussion.
Okay, yes. No, that's not what it's important to me. The most important thing is that we continue to build on our momentum of the bond investments. And I said that last week, and I recognize I heard other comments too, but the most important thing I think we do sooner than later is we continue to invest, because if we don't, that land will go away. And that has to be the priority one. Along with that, we should do these other things that are important to the council. But I still think that investing in land and those important properties are really the most important thing to do.
So just to clarify what we said last time and what we're continuing to say, and I just want to get head nods, is that the majority of what this bond has covered in the past would continue moving forward. What we're trying to do is get clarity on what additional things we would want to add to the mix in terms of programs, not to throw everything out. So I think the reason, again, why we've had this 1, 2, and 3 discussion is to really focus in on what would it mean to add some new programs that focus on people while doing conservation instead of doing conservation and then think about how to get the access after that. So if we're all head nodding, that's where we started the conversation. That's where we're still intended to go. That we're not throwing everything out and starting over. It's just focused on this one question.
Yeah, I take the way that's circled, I take that is the priority, and I don't want that. Is I support that, but the most important thing we can do is to continue.
I think John meant a priority for discussion today, not in terms of we're not going back and relooking at everything that we've done in the past.
If I could tag on to that, I think it's a very legitimate concern to make sure that we continue to focus on a core mission of acquiring threatened sites so that they can be sustained for natural resource purposes and also for human enjoyment and recreation. And I want to keep in context the threat to exurban natural resource areas. I am an advocate of restraint in the expansion of our urban area. And so I would want to calibrate the size of this investment this time around, how much we gain from a measure, the length of time those resources would be available realistically for new acquisition, and where we'll be in our 2040 becoming 2070 future visioning, and what kinds of policy choices we'll have about the rate of urban expansion and which of those areas are most closely threatened by urban expansion in terms of setting priorities and weighing how much we really need to be spending before the boundary engulfs rural lands. But we still have to focus on acquiring sites that are in the urban growth boundary already before they're no longer available. I get that. I just want to keep us thoughtful about the proportions and dollar size of outside the boundary acquisitions in relation to all the other decisions we can make as a government about where we grow and how much outward we grow in the time frame that this bond covers.
Can I just do that facilitator thing and make sure that I'm capturing your comments accurately on my flip chart?
I should not have spoken if that's your goal.
No, that. So it sounds like, Counselor, that your comment is speaking to prioritization and importance, and you want to note that this idea of building momentum on previous investments is important to you, and to keep that in mind as we go forward in this presentation and in this process. And Counselor, your comment was to keep in mind, really, if I heard a lot in that about future thinking and urban growth and making sure that that's a part of the puzzle. Is that accurate?
Yeah, just not to get too wonky, but we have urban reserves that are set aside for a period that goes as far as 2060.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're smart, we'll keep our urban growth well within those urban reserves.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to be acquiring between now and 2060? And how much of that needs to be acquired out in urban reserve areas, for example. And then a lot of that other land is going to be beyond 2060, right? My goal is that we keep faith with the past decisions that said this is going to be a reservoir of urban expansion that lasts a generation.
I would agree with Councillor Credick that as we move forward, we need to make sure that we have the land that we need, and we need to identify what that is, not just for today, but looking into the future, as Councillor Stacey says. But I need to also consider that the last two bond measures, I mean, we identified a land need. We identified in different parts of the region even what, not necessarily what parcels, but at least within what zones, how many acres we need. And then with the previous two bond measures, we've surpassed that. I mean, we doubled it. I mean, we purchased twice as much, as many acres, as we promised that we would. And so my question is, and we need the answer, I think, to resolve this issue from our professional staff and the scientists, where are we still lacking? What do we still need? What do we anticipate that we will need by 2060 or whenever? And does that mean we need a substantial part of a new measure to be for these kinds of investments? Or can we afford to focus more inside and for more public access? We need to know what that balance is technically from technical people who know.
Can I delve into that a little bit more? Because where does the policy play in then if it's only technical?
But the policy needs to be based on a scientific reason why we have that policy.
So what's the scientific reason to give more livability to people?
I'm sorry, what was the part?
What's the scientific rationale and the performance metric around giving livability to people?
Sure.
And I don't think that's necessarily a performance metric we've asked a scientist to delve into, it because it's not necessarily a scientific thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to be careful about saying it's a technical issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's still a policy overlay that we need to really flush out, and we need to say what's important based on what we're hearing from what people need. I think it's that I'm looking up on our physical access exercise that we did last time, and proximity is not equal access, right?
Well, I didn't mean to imply that
okay.
We would turn it over to them. I was saying I needed to be, for me to be able to make that to make that decision, I need that information.
So there's a cachet of information of what is still a high priority for conservation and preservation,
mm-hmm.
But then there's also an equal that we're trying to get at now,
mm-hmm.
The question about what does it mean to provide more access.
Right.
Okay.
We're in agreement.
And so that was the priority of today, was just because we had heard that people still wanted to have a conversation about what that meant to provide access. And that's why we're having these conversations, not to question, not to refocus, not to reset the entire agenda, but to actually focus in on this. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time rehashing unless everybody wants to rehash the entire bond measure. But I understand your question in terms of the information you need to look at the percentage that goes to each, maybe in the end.
Yeah.
But not necessarily let a technical conversation play out about a policy issue relating to livability and equal access or, okay. Okay.
Right. But if when originally the reason why we started purchasing land is to improve water quality and habitat, and so but we do need that scientific input about what's it going to take that if we're going to really bring fish back to Johnson Creek in East Multnomah County, what's it going to take to make that happen? And that's the science side of it that I would like to know. Now I recognize that. Yes, there's another goal in this, because I live in East Multnomah County, and the Spring Water Trail follows Johnson Creek. People have access to that land. They aren't walking on it, but they are bicycling and walking by it every day. It's the trail system that really allows people to have access. So I'm not sure what we mean by the definition of access. But
one of the things that we'll dive into a little bit more on the question about getting the technical input on this from the science team, we'll definitely have that. I think it's also important to note that on our team we also have social scientists, and so there's the natural area science and biology. There's also people and systems and engineering. So there's a lot of different levels that our department and really this whole agency looks at, you know, asking those questions and really going and getting the research to bring that back. So we heard that loud and clear. So as a takeaway from the last meeting that we heard from the mapping exercise and the dots behind me, the big takeaway is the way we summarized it was around this idea of nearby nature, importance on trails, and then urban transformation. So with nearby nature, all of you talked about the importance of having nature close to home for our region's residents. Whether you measure that by having a park or green space within a 10-minute walk or wanting every community to have access to the rivers in our region, you also noted that proximity isn't sufficient. Proximity doesn't necessarily mean access. That for some of these types and conditions of the place that it's important to also think about, is it safe, is it welcoming, what are the different barriers that people might be experiencing. In terms of trails, you all placed a high importance on the regional and recreational trails and how to provide people with safe connections to these different parks, natural areas, and to their communities within these areas, not just for hiking and walking, but also for getting places, right? So part of that importance. And then the urban transformation, you identified the desire for Metro to support more significant urban development efforts. What part can nature play in transforming and leveraging regional investments in housing and transportation? So what are the gaps between achieving some of these outcomes, and where we are today is part of what we'll look at in terms of how we've invested in the past to provide a little bit more context. So here's a reminder of this graphic from our system plan from 2016, and I want to talk a little bit about how the role has changed since the 2006 bond to help clarify where we may or may not have any gaps. So what we learned, and just to orient to this graphic, the top left is showing sort of the more wild, scenic, natural areas. You think national parks, fish and wildlife, BLM, state parks. As you move to the right, you get into the more urban-centric. In the bottom of the page, too, you start getting to the local providers, counties, parks, special districts, city parks. Metro's role has evolved into being both a premier conservation agency to do land protection, land banking, but also being a provider and operator of regional park system and helping to not only operate our own park system, but help support others operate their park systems to make this great, livable, connected region. So what we learned in developing this system plan was that there was an interest, again, in doing both those different pieces. When the 2006 bond was passed, it was not clear what Metro's role would be in this sort of operator role. It really was land banking. There were a few major capital investment projects planned in Mount Cooper and Mount Talbot, but those were the only real big things that sort of rolled up into that 2006 bond. Today, our system plan clearly spells out this dual role that we have as an agency, so doing the convening, planning for people, as well as operating these places. The decision to go to the voters for an operating levy in 2013 was another part of that policy shift, thinking about council wanting to also think about the operations and maintenance of the sites, but also opening new sites, which then led to a 2014 decision by council to to amend a bond or to allow $29 million worth of 2006 bond dollars to go towards some of these capital access projects. That's what helped to develop Scouters Mountain, the planning for Chehalem Ridge, Farmington Paddle Launch. So there was this clear direction of, let's start putting some of these bond dollars into capital projects for access. So as an example, Scouters Mountain. It's in Happy Valley. The site was developed and open to the public with the help of the levy funding, and this is a site that's operated by Metro Parks and Nature. Orenco Woods Nature Park, located in Hillsboro, and it was a partnership with Hillsboro through bond funding from the Metro pot as well as the local share pot from Hillsboro to develop this new nature park. This is a great example, too, of a nature park, a regional trail. There's houses in the back. I don't know if they're exactly affordable housing units, but affordable to somebody. But that idea of how do you try to put all these things in place together? This site is operated by Hillsboro in terms of the park amenities, the whole natural landscape of it by the creek. That's managed by Metro's natural resource team. Then there's river access on the Tualatin River, creating a key connection in some of the launches along the Tualatin River. This is Farmington Paddle Launch. It was just opened a couple years ago. Again, supported by the 2006 bond measure dollars that were reallocated specifically towards capital projects. So, in terms of these outcomes that around the people-based and access that we heard from you all last time, we talked about nearby nature, trails, leveraging urban development. The bond did not call out explicitly funding priorities for site development. In part, that is why the levy funding was used for some of these park developments, which we hope in the future to have more bond dollars supporting bond projects and capital-type projects rather than using levy dollars. The 2006 bond also did not prioritize land acquisition for public access or these types of development projects. It was not prioritized, but at the same time, it did create those opportunities. So we think there's a big part of where the gaps are. We're trying to help look at what is the different direction we need from council to think about new criteria that we might need to be added to these different workflows or programs or sort of defining those outcomes, and how could that provide different investment for the future?
John, can I interrupt yes. for a second? So throughout this presentation, these three areas are going to be referenced quite a bit as some of the key takeaways. And before we move forward, I just want to make sure that we have a little bit of that temperature check. We have some of the materials behind us on what you did last time with the expert facilitation of Council President. But I'm just wanting to see if there's anything that anyone would like to add that they're either sitting with, that they're thinking about a lot from the last Council work session on the 15th that isn't captured here in these 3 points, at least so to have those in mind, keeping in mind that we're looking at some of the gaps here, maybe not reorienting.
The point that I made, that I would like to see that added.
The piece on land acquisition. Great. Okay, so maybe something to keep in mind as we go through that criteria from 2006. Anything else from anyone that's not accurately captured that you're really sitting with? Or is the sense that these were some of the key takeaways from your understanding of what happened in the last council session?
So I would like to just note the working lands idea that I had. I'm willing to not have it play a big part in this. It was obviously not a council priority. But I do want to note that there's some policies around our working lands that we should probably think about how we're managing that land that we do have, and how if we purchase more land and there happens to be a farm that's part of that, that we actually have some directions on how to manage it maybe differently. And so while it doesn't need to be a part of the conversation for the bond conversation, I don't want it to go away. I want it to be something that we continue to work on, and what would we actually be trying to get out of those lands for the future. So I just want to acknowledge it's no longer on the list.
How we utilize the land.
What kind of outcomes we're trying to get? Is it just that we wanted to keep it in working lands and we don't prioritize who gets access to that land? Or whether it's organic, what other things we're trying to get out of that piece of property? And if it's not necessarily working for us in the way we want, are we willing to sell that property, identify other property as working lands and start agglomerating it so that we can actually get some synergy. But I don't want to get too deep on that. I just want to acknowledge it's no longer on the list. I'm okay with that, but I would like to continue having a discussion past the bond measure.
And all I was going to offer, Madam President, is my recollection, which is imperfect, that near the Bybee Howell House on Sovie Island, we have a parcel that is managed by a CSA. I may be completely wrong about two or three of those factoids. But I'll glance toward staff for confirmation or eye roll.
A shrug.
They're nodding their heads behind you.
Is it managed by a CSA? Yes.
Okay. Maybe it's not a CSA. But yeah, it's an example of what you're talking about.
What are we trying to get with kids getting access to learning how to farm, that sort of thing? So I think just the whole package after this discussion, I'm just acknowledging it's no longer on the list. It's really important to me as we go along.
It is on the flip chart. So,
but not as part of this bond measure.
Okay. I'm just wondering from any of the other counselors who haven't had a chance to weigh in.
I want to highlight a key takeaway that I've had, and I think we had in the last few conversations around this subject, but I think it's absolutely paramount that we highlight our commitment to racial equity in these points. I think that it's inherent because we know that we're going to lead with race, but not only thinking about how we invest the money that we eventually raise for the region, but even assessing the portfolio of properties and different facilities that we have right now that might not fall into that commitment to racial equity anymore. I think that those are opportunities to leverage.
Thank you. Anything else?
I guess I would share in the president's interest in working lands, but in my mind that kind of falls under urban transformation, because it's not only urban transformation, it's also suburban transformation, since much of Metro is suburbanized. Not to rewrite what's on the slide, but I can make an argument why it's not fully left out yet.
Can we ask a question? When you say transformation, are you talking about taking something from an urban state to a more natural state?
So,
Or
from a brownfield or unused or otherwise vacant and give it a purpose state.
That goes back to our depave strategies. That's a strategy as an urban transformation.
Greenways, etc.
Okay, I'm going to turn it back over to John now. If everybody feels good about that. All right. Thank you.
So just a reminder of the kind of high level of the process. These desired outcomes are identified, and then that leads to some investment criteria that would go into a referral, some clarification of program and target areas that ultimately get into that referral. The council is informed through the different stakeholder groups, community engagement, public opinion research, current policy, staff analysis. This isn't a linear process. Obviously, it's iterative. There's opportunities to go back and sort of check in on that feedback loop, but what we really see an opportunity is if we have clarity on the outcomes, which sounds like we do have, and we're just trying to refine a little bit more, how do we start getting towards that place of criteria? And that's where we're going to walk through the next several slides, is showing you what the current criteria is, the policy direction that staff has been operating off of with the 2006 bond, and where is there opportunity to add new criteria to that, to refine any of the criteria. So that's sort of where we're hoping to lead this, not lead this conversation, but allow this conversation some context to think about how you all are talking and providing some direction to staff to start going to that next level of technical analysis and community engagement. So, as a review, the 2006 bond was largely called lovingly or unlovingly buckets of land acquisition, local share, capital grants, and capital projects. There's an asterisk next to that capital projects to highlight that it was not part of that original 2006 bond. It was added in 2014 as an allocation of that $29 million to go directly to some of those capital projects. So it's part of the bonds, but it wasn't part of the sort of original language. It was the evolution that councils took and saw an opportunity to address needs in the region. So the first kind of big bucket there, that land acquisition. This was the criteria, high level, that we all looked at. Water quality, habitat value, rarity, parcel size, restoration potential, connectivity for wildlife trail systems, scenic resources and views, and public access for nature-based recreation. This is directly what helped to inform the target areas, which were those blob maps of these different 27 different target areas across the region, as Councillor Dirksen mentioned, that helped to define where staff and this program should be focused on land acquisition. So you can see that only two of these eight really seem to call out people, as it is a land acquisition program, and one is directly related to public access. Nonetheless, there is an opportunity. So here's an example. Chehalem Ridge, this is the language for that target area. The northern end of the Chehalem Mountains provides opportunities for protection of large, undeveloped tracts of forest land to protect water quality, wildlife connections from this mountain range to Arla River bottomlands. So that was specifically what it was looking at. What happened through this process was great community engagement through Central Cultural, many others, right, Councillor Gonzalez?
Yeah,
is in there. This is the eclipse viewing. So after that 2014 decision to look at doing some capital access projects, Chehalem Ridge was identified as a great place to begin developing, and what came out of that was a huge community engagement process and a real level of ownership by the community about this place and about the land and wanting to protect it, and also seeing the great opportunities to come out and do programming, do more teaching and education around it. So it has really become a really amazing and sort of signature site for Metro and for the region around this great process that was focused first on protection of the lands, but really became a big community-driven project and still is a community-driven project that's gone far beyond the original vision of the sentence in there about the target area.
And using your example, now the local communities want access via a trail system.
Right. That's our understanding. There's a northern end, which is phase two, not to get too technical into all this, but with the master plan that was adopted, different phases that go into these master plans to kind of build out the entire vision. There's funding for phase one. There's not necessarily for phase two. And part of phase two is a potential of a different connection to the northern end of the property, which would maybe make it easier to for the community from Forest Grove and Cornelius to access that site.
That's a great, I think, example how we're leading with the conservation, but yet the access became the issue. And the question is, how do we balance that?
Exactly.
Yeah, so with that in mind, this is where we get kind of into the fluid piece between John and myself. So there might be times when I look in panic over to John and he'll take it over.
I say, ouch.
So with that, looking at this piece of land acquisition and some of the things that were heard in the last session, some of the things that in my reading of these materials and conversation with staff that came up were some potential ideas for new criteria. So again, the ask here from council is this correct? Did we miss anything big? Do you have an initial gut reaction to any of these? And keeping in mind that you're busy folks, people have different processing speeds, and if you have a great idea in 3 days, we're going to come back to this. So don't worry. We don't need to get everything out today. But thinking about these 2006 criteria, in addition, some new ideas that have come from previous conversations with this council have been about purchasing lands for parks in urban and suburban areas, this idea of getting ahead of growth, which I think we heard a little bit about from Councillor Stacey's comments, to both preserve unprotected sensitive lands and threatened by development, and also to create these new nature parks that will make developing areas great places for people to live and the livability of this region, connecting people to these places with trails and pathways, and strengthening the access people have to water, specifically the rivers. That was that one that got quite a few dots up there. So thinking about these additional ideas of purchasing land, I want to flip chart these all out, but purchasing land for parks in urban and suburban areas, getting ahead of growth, connecting through trails, and strengthening access to water. If I can just maybe get nodding heads if those sound good, or any additional ideas or thoughts if these don't seem to accurately capture
and it is going to bother me, so I'm going to write them up on the floor. And again, just thinking that we're talking about land acquisition in this area. So, purchase, urban, and suburban. Getting ahead of growth. Connecting with trails. And access to water. And John, those are correct from your understanding too.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else?
Are we right now looking at assessing how the 2006 bond criteria would apply to the current, and we're trying to figure out the temperature on that? Is that what we're doing? I'm trying.
Yeah,
to
part of it
myself.
Is you all were asking for, are there gaps? Where are things that are not being addressed in terms of the desired outcomes? And sort of our analysis is there's a great bulk of the bond, the previous bond, that has achieved some of those, many of those outcomes. But when you look at the criteria, we think that there might be something in some of the criteria that doesn't get to that. Where do you see, for this smaller piece about people and access, where are there opportunities within this criteria? Okay. So that's what we're...
And I guess I would want to put an asterisk. These are the buckets we used last time.
This is the current criteria for...
That we're talking about.
Used for the 2006 bond measure?
Right. And I think it's totally right and valid to have the conversation about criteria used for the past, but I want to keep it on the table that there could be a new bucket.
Yes.
That specifies some specific things that are not part of these other buckets, because we created a fourth bucket on the fly in 2014. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, those are buckets.
Y'all just pointed that out to me. I'm going to use it.
On the fly.
Yeah.
I thought it, okay, but the capital projects, the $29 million,
correct,
that you carved out as a council, that basically became a fourth bucket. I think one is the criteria and how we need to keep moving with land acquisition. To Shirley's comments, this is a big part of it. What additional criteria need to be overlaid, like equity, which was not part of the conversation last time. But also, there are going to be things that we discussed up there that may need to be their own program, their own bucket. And I want to just make sure that we, like, not everything's going to fit in here. And I think this is a really good conversation to have on the criteria for the existing buckets. But let's not force ourselves into the buckets only if it doesn't feel right. So that's...
I'm supportive of this, and I would actually add racial equity. We need to follow our racial equity strategy. I would like to see some criteria established regarding urban and purchase of urban and suburban land. We need to put some of this, as we call it, sideboards around that. What is that? What are we trying to achieve by purchasing urban and suburban land?
Mm-hmm.
So clarify some of the objectives around that purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In my perspective, I think I'm approaching the sideboards. That's a word that we've been using so much that I've never used in my entire life, but I'm using it now. Sideboards, the parameters of this fundraising measure that we're looking to pursue in 2019. I think I'm approaching it from a different vantage point than Metro might have historically approached it. So I just want to be transparent with my colleagues and with the public, of course. When I think it's very important to build on previous work of continuing to acquire land. However, I'm also looking at this through the framework of the regional investment strategy that we have and how this money can be leveraged with our housing and our transportation dollars. So that's kind of the framework that I'm looking in when I think about potential new buckets, and this might be under urban or suburban lands. But for me, and I mentioned it in the last conversation, and with the dots over there, would be to I don't even know where I'm going in with this at this point. I agree with the urban and suburban lands, but when I talk about connecting trails and accessibility, a really big point for me was creating a trail system that isn't only recreational, but has a major economic value and asset for how the workforce can move and connect through a natural corridor, through a trail, whether it's with bikes, bus rapid transit, and I know it's very different from what we've historically maybe sought to achieve with this bond. I'm still formulating my thoughts, but that's where I'm coming from. So I think it's important.
If I can respond to that, that is not at all removed from what we have done in the past. Because we've devoted a lot of effort with regional money and connecting it with local money to create those kinds of trails, both on the east side and the west side. That their only use is not recreational, but also, in fact, I think council in general would agree that when we look at the regional trail system, it's a part of the transportation system as well, not just for recreational purposes.
Okay, so I hear two thoughts there. One is specific to this potential criteria on connecting people with trails. There's an interest to bring in the economic factor as well. And not all are these recreational trails, but are they trails that can transport people to where they need to go. So transportation and recreation working together.
Yes.
But also an interest in potentially these new buckets that could be explored of how do housing, transportation, and parks and nature fit together.
Yes. Correct? Yes, and also with our commitment to racial equity and using our capital dollars to invest in areas in the region that have been underinvested in historically. And, I mean, there are several jurisdictional partners doing innovative work. I think of THPRD waiving SDCs for affordable housing development. That shouldn't necessarily mean that our affordable homes don't have access to world-class parks. I mean, capital investment in public and park infrastructure, matching, et cetera. Those are the things that I would be interested in pursuing.
I have a question or a clarification of what's on the screen right now. When we look at this is the 2006 bond criteria, is this looking back on it, that's what we did, or is that language actually taken from the 2006 bond language?
It's taken from the language.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. That's what I thought. And the question is, are these still valid, and are there others that are here that we need to consider going forward for a new measure, correct?
Yeah, that's what we're trying
to do. Okay, yeah, I just wanted to... I would suggest that on that list that parcel size is less of a goal now, we're looking at ways we can provide better access, particularly inside the urban growth boundary, the fact that a parcel isn't large doesn't mean it isn't valuable.
I'm starting to frame myself in the conversation now. Better look at the future slides.
I guess unless it's along a stream. I mean, it's really going to be important. You know, there's a certain amount of land you need along a stream that can really protect that stream.
Well, that may even be part of it, because I know that if you look at our current acquisitions, I can think of two or three places where we've made significant acquisitions along stream corridors, but there's little gaps in between them.
Yes.
And so we need to find ways to connect
those gaps, and that would be a
yeah.
piece of ground.
Yeah.
That was really what stuck out to me, too, was the parcel size. It feels like we've really moved beyond that in our level of sophistication around how we're evaluating habitat value. And I think habitat value is much more of a important criteria, and size is part of that. You know, it is if this is valuable riverfront, you know, protection, the more of it the better, probably in that certain level of criteria. So that was just, I'm glad you pointed that out, because that was stuck out to me right away. As our friend, you know, Robert Liberty used to say, you know, we could buy really large parcels of land in Brazil that would have incredible environmental value as well, but that's not serving some of our other purposes here. So, that was interesting. I also wonder, I don't know where this fits in, but In terms of the sideboards, in terms of what we're talking about here with these buckets and targeting, one of the themes we keep coming back to is that we want to spend those dollars inside the urban growth boundary. And so it seems to me if there is some sideboard that says, hey, we've spent, I've heard different estimates, between 30 and 50% of our resources in the past outside the urban growth boundary. Is there some percentage, is there some target that we are comfortable going outside the boundary with, but essentially, you know, keeping more of those dollars inside the urban growth boundary in these areas of land acquisition, local share, capital grants, even in these buckets, which I think do need to be refined and can develop, that's putting a lot more of those resources into those urban areas that make all of those trail connections, that make all of those access connections, that innately by spending more inside the boundary and looking to spend it in these categories, I think we're getting part of the way there just by being clear about what our target is inside and out. And I think without, it's hard for me to visualize how successful we will be getting those dollars in if we don't have some sort of target or goal.
A lot of the conversation has been around spending, an encouragement to spend within the urban growth boundary, but then maybe some need for clarification on what happens outside. Are there targets for inside and outside the UGB?
Well, I guess, you know, we have these goals. We've been talking about this, but in 10 years, are we going to be okay with 30% being outside, having been spent outside? Are we going to be okay with 50? I mean, what is the, you know, I think we would want to see a change in that dynamic. So what is it that we would want it to look like kind of as an investment outside versus investment inside?
Go back to the original reason why we started this in 1995, and that is water quality, habitat value, rarity of the habitat. And that a lot of that is you're going to have to be, it'll be headwaters in different streams. So to me, I support the notion of purchasing land in the UGB, but we don't want to move off our original intent of why we're doing this. And to me, it's still all about that environmental, the environmental goals that we're trying to achieve. And oh, by the way, we're bringing access and we're making it available to people to use. But the real reason why this all got started was to protect those special lands and to improve our water quality. And I don't want that to be lost. So, yes, I would support purchasing land within the UGB if it achieved these other goals also.
I appreciate both those views. I don't think creating hard percentages is a good idea. So much land purchase is based on opportunity. It becomes available. So I think if we identify balance, what balance we want to achieve and what our priorities ought to be, but I think each land purchase needs to be evaluated based on its own merits, not on whether or not it fits into this category or that category.
Maybe I'm ready to jump in. The past bonds have had target area strategies. And the delightful thing about the target areas is they're generalized in terms of public access to them. The council has known generally what the target areas are, but the actual location of parcels within them is in a top secret document the council never sees unless there's an acquisition proposal that comes in executive session. We're not allowed to know whose tax lots are targeted. We know general objectives. So maybe we need some complementary target strategy for the urban area. When I think of Councilor Craddock's district, Multnomah County has some shop on a peninsula between two big gravel lakes. And maybe there's minimal habitat value there now, but by golly, there's a big urban open space with water in it and trees at least around the edges. I don't even know the name of those ponds, but they're not all that
gravel
far.
Pits, yeah.
Huh?
Gravel pits. That's what
I call them ponds, okay. But, you know, there's something you could plop a target area designation on and know what people, you know, what you're talking about without getting too specific. But in other cases, they're going to be trail corridors. And I'm with Councillor Chase on that, that there are some really important resources that are completely urbanized but right next to the Willamette River. And the more we can do to unlock human access to the river and along the river in highly urbanized areas, there may not be an immediate payoff for habitat and restoration, but there will be a payoff in terms of access to a currently heavily polluted, but ultimately cleaner and safer and more productive natural area. So there's a mix here, and I want to be inside and outside your growth boundary. I want to be inside existing communities at small scale and medium scale and outside as well. I want to get connected with trails. I want all those things, and I'm a little leery as well, Councillor Dirksen, of having hard percentages, but something like target areas might help us a little bit.
Sounds like an opportunity for specific strategies around the rural, suburban, urban acquisition. So I've seen some head nodding for something for staff to explore a little bit more as we maybe explain and break down the, how the process has taken place over the years, but where we can be explicit about different strategies to bring to you all.
John, one more thing that I think we had to just checkpoint with the council is the stakeholder committee had a lot of conversation about having a sort of a sub-criteria on habitat that's culturally significant to indigenous peoples. Yeah. And I would just want to checkpoint that with you because I think that I would recommend that you add that, not just objective habitat value, but be very specific around culturally significant plants and animals.
Emprey, salmon, yeah.
Camas.
Camas root.
I would agree. Obviously, that's not a departure from what we've done.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was defined as a priority, but it's certainly not a departure from what we've done.
And I think a lot of the conversation is about being explicit now instead of just letting it be implicit. And the question is it explicit within the existing buckets, right, there, as well as if there are any new programs?
And I think to really underscore the need for, and it maybe wouldn't necessarily all be bond dollars, it could be operating dollars as well, but to have adequate education and interpretation about cultural as well as environmental legacies mm-hmm. of these spaces.
I'm assuming for all of these that there is going to be a direction to staff that we apply racial equity to all the buckets and ask for more specificity on that so that we don't have to have this conversation for every bucket, because I think it's something we've heard, but I think that's going to be one number one direction yeah. coming out of this.
Staff's understanding that everything we do leads to racial equity, whether it's this project,
right.
program, everything.
I think yeah. explicit language mm-hmm. of what that means per bucket is going to be more important. It's not just an uber one sentence thing. It's like, what does that actually mean for this? Especially if we start talking about targeted areas, like what does that mean?
Yeah. Break before launching into the last
three
big pieces.
Yeah, do you guys want to take a short break?
It's warmed up here.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
Are you
tired,
John?
Sorry. I'm following my sheet. It says break. So we'll keep going.
In the interest,
thank you for asking.
So I think we'll move on to some of these other areas, but I want to put a little mental post-it in there that if you are thinking of things or think of criteria, I think this is a yes and conversation. So what's in the past? What comes next, and helping to give staff some direction. But we will come back to this. So you have not lost your opportunity if you did not weigh in on this.
The second piece, I guess, of this for me in getting more specific is around the public access portion of it. And we talked about, and Councillor Dirksen had brought up, I don't know if it's the right metric, but what does that mean, especially if we start talking about urban, suburban, and rural, what does access 10-minute, 20-minute walk, drive, bus, I don't know what that means, but what does that mean in terms of access? I'd like to get a little bit more thought
coming back to us on what does it mean.
Madam President, you can bicycle from downtown Cornelius to the top of your Halem Ridge in 10 minutes. You know you can. Just give yourself a trick. Not all of us can.
I'll race them. And your electric bike.
Well, you've been on my electric bike.
Yeah, okay.
These are the high-level explanations of it. We can come back and make sure that you have the additional language that's in there, but we can help to clarify what was meant in that public access in all of these. So
I just want to ask, is there anything that we've left you that we haven't been clear on? Is there anything that you have questions of us?
So far.
You can ponder that. You don't have to give.
I'll try and summarize at the end with Allison and what you heard.
And these might also be things that folks, you know, need to sit and process with for a week and then come back and say, well, you said this. Can we get a little bit more clarity? The joy of having three-part session, right? You get to come back. So shall we move on to the next piece?
Yes, right. Let's shall. So the next bucket from the previous, or I guess this actually isn't part of the explicitly one of the buckets, but we wanted to talk about gaps again, and the question of trails came up. And so this is a reminder of the regional trails plan. So acquisition of regional trail corridors were part of both the 95 and 2006 bond measures, and some significant progress has been made, but there's a lot more work to do to close gaps in the existing trails, connecting communities to facilities outside and inside the urban growth area, as well as creating new trail facilities. So this potentially constitutes a gap in the 2006 bond program, and the outcomes that council has identified in the last two sessions is that there isn't necessarily a fully formalized trails program. We have two amazing regional planners working on the trails program, and there's a the quarterly trails forum is tomorrow, which is a great opportunity out there. But in terms of having some explicit kind of program built around the regional trails is one of the places that wasn't formalized in full depth. So we wanted to sort of show through this map, which I can barely see, so hopefully you all can see and read it better, but you all have adopted this and should hopefully know well. But this is the regional trail system plan. And you can see in there what are existing trails, what are planned trails, what are conceptual trails, and also calling out the water trails. What this map doesn't quite show is which of the planned trails, what their level of funding is currently, what their funding gaps are. We could get that information and sort of bring that back, but this is trying to get that high-level thinking of here's this regional trail system, and I think Allison has a few prompts and questions to talk through.
Yeah. So based on some of the feedback from the last session and the noting that trails were a key takeaway that I think staff got from the last session, a couple of potential new program investments might be connecting, or I think as John noted, formalizing some of this stuff. So are trails important? Do you agree? Are they important? Okay. Lynn went for the thumbs up, so I think I'm seeing some nodding heads of yes, trails are important. We got that right. Great. And then, so connecting people to parks and natural areas with trails, formalizing some of that, strengthening people's access to water, specifically rivers, which we just spoke a little bit about in the last bucket, and creating local connections to regional facilities. And I think Juan Carlos, Councilor Gonzalez, your comment of how trails might dovetail also with transportation might apply here as well. We can infer that trails and transportation, how those fit together. So does this seem like an accurate description of some of the takeaways from last time of areas for staff to continue to explore? And would you add anything in addition to the comments that were shared in the last piece on land acquisition to this piece on trails for staff to explore further?
I have a question. So we're, of course, planning the transportation investment to also, and there's possibility that some of those funds could be used to purchase land for trails or build trails. So I guess I would just like, is it important, and I'm not suggesting it, is it important to think about what would be built and with this these funds, and what would be built with the transportation funds? Or is it just kind of let's just see what happens as if we can get both measures passed? I don't know. I'm more asking. I'm not suggesting. Is it important to create some criteria around how these funds would be used and compare it to the transportation funding?
It's great when different buckets of money can create matching funds for each other. A terrific example of that is in my district, between Tigard and Tualatin, they've got, and the city of Durham, there are three great parks that are separated by the Tualatin River, and there was no pedestrian access. And so the cities got together with one another and also with Clean Water Services and the water agencies and found the funding to build a bridge that provides a bike and ped access across. But a large proportion of the money actually came from water and sewer, because there's also a sewer line and a water line that run over that bridge. And none of them would have been able to do it without the others, but together they got an excellent project.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's like, yeah, how can we create leverage? Or what will be our opportunities for leveraging? And then I'd like to add one other thing. When you look at this map, these are the planned future trails, and you know, someday. But there's still big areas of the region that have no plan for a trail. And I'm looking at East Multnomah County again. There's big sections there that there's no trail going north and south. And do we want to consider another more trails? And I recognize that maybe the city of Portland is looking at road trails or road, you know, bicycle routes. So I'm not suggesting this again. I just want to point that out.
Councillor Craddock, I share that same question. I hate to sound parochial, but if one looks at Councillor Craddock's portion of Multnomah County, my district, and a significant portion of Councillor Chase's district, much of that in the city of Portland, we know that that's an urbanized area. We also know that there's some real gems, like the westernmost of the buttes, Mount Tabor and Kelly Butte and other potential destinations for folks who don't live in the immediate neighborhood, who I know as a resident access local parks like those and the Willamette River where we have a regional trail, using greenways, local streets or bike lanes and sidewalks to access them if they're not driving there. And I don't know how to reflect that reality and how to encourage consideration of the way we make transportation trail investments so that they enhance and reinforce access to nature, even urban parks as nature, and display that on a regional map without claiming credit, but making me feel less uncomfortable every time I look at the neighborhoods I represent.
Can I make a suggestion?
Unless somebody is building a light rail line through it, there's not a trail there.
I'm going to make a suggestion based on your earlier comments, both of your earlier comments, on the idea of targeting what does it mean to be part of a regional trail system in an urban, suburban, and rural area, and that we actually have that conversation because 82nd in the future could become part of that network if it was actually greenscaped out as well as providing safe access for everybody. So maybe there's a way to have that conversation. Maybe it plays in the bond measure, maybe it doesn't, but we should actually think about how we think about trail systems in different ways and what we want to put in here. So I would suggest, because I know all the dots went on trails, that we actually think about a separate program. And that would be the direction of staff, is to come back with a proposed program just on trails. And that we get help targeting, urban, suburban, and rural, and we think about what that means, and then we can set priorities based on what we're hearing. Because maybe the urban ones we want to target in a transportation package, maybe we don't, I don't know. But I think it would help us think about how we do that a little bit differently. But that's how I would propose kind of moving forward, is just, let's look at that, what that would be as an explicit program.
And if I may, just to remind and provide some context, this is the regional trails system plan. So this is about trails that have been identified as regional, and so they connect multiple cities and things. So what we don't have, and didn't get into the detail, is some of the greenways, some of the existing that are either bike-only or very bike-friendly. And so City of Portland has its own Portland bike map, which we didn't, would have made this too busy. So this is really that larger regional conversation. And there's many, these are the arteries, right? There's other veins or different things that would potentially plug into some of these. So if it would be helpful to go and provide some more detailed mapping of people's districts at some future point, or making sure to provide that, we would love to make sure that you all can see how this is that high-level overlay of the regional trail system, trails of regional significance. So.
I'm kind of matching this up against the dot exercise that we did, and looking at the one that really got the most dots of any, I think, was commute / recreational regional significant trails. And I think that, I don't know if commuting is the right word necessarily, but I think that the intent of linking to transportation was, you know, certainly part of that for me and putting my dot up there. And then regional significant, I don't think was necessary. I mean, maybe for others it was, but I don't think it was necessarily connected to the defined regional trails that you know, we have defined. It was more that have regional significance, that are across, you know, boundaries of jurisdictions, that are across community boundaries, that are moving people and connecting people recreationally and work-wise in our region. And so I just think that could be maybe a little stronger somewhere in the language, where I think we had some pretty good connections. Well, but see, it says local connections that you're underlining. And so
all connection. How do people move on these trails? How does that fit in with their other transportation options? Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's better than the, I mean, it's great creating local connections to regional facilities, but I think that's different than what you just described.
I'm also doing
unlimited
clip
charts. Yeah, no, absolutely.
I appreciate that, though. Thank you for that clarification.
And I do think starting with, you know, and looking at a bucket for trails, and then thinking about how does that connect to the other things. But I like the idea of creating that bucket. I think that's a critical one.
I think that I'm trying to craft the perfect phrase that captures what this means to me. And in my vision and what I'm trying to channel for my colleagues on council is that we hope that this bond is not only protecting nature, but helps us reclaim nature in our suburban, in our urban areas, especially with how we move around and how we live. As, you know, our world goes through climate change and becomes increasingly dense and urban. So to echo Councillor Chase's points, when I think about investing in a system of trails, it's yes, building on this, but taking a step forward. And President Peterson made a good point of imagining a sort of transit corridor that has greenscape on it, or for now, I'll leave it there.
And that's that point of what does this mean, urban, suburban, rural, how do we all link together? And it sounds like the hope is that staff can come back with more direction and more thought on this. Yeah.
Yes.
I want to express complete understanding and sympathy with Director Bleicher's point that you don't want to busy up this map too much. But I also think there is a strategy somewhere out there with us and our partners to making sure there's an understandable network that a person living in a relatively underparked part of the city or the region can see a partner's park space and a partner's trail that connects to it as part of a commonly mapped and marketed system, so that we have access to information about what's available by a variety of modes.
This comes under the 2040 yeah, refresh yeah. kind of conversation. When I was on Lake Oswego City Council, we had Alta Planning come in and take the recreational hiking trails and the bike trail map and the transportation system plan and smush it all together into what is the actual network of trails. Everybody was calling everything trails, but there was actually a hierarchy of trails. There was it connecting? Was it connecting green space, connecting you through green space, or actual commuting? And we just rationalized it into a trail system with a hierarchy and actually design guidelines so that everybody knew what was going on. So that might be something we need to think about for the future. But in terms of the bond measure, I do think that there is an urban, suburban, rural trail that we need to kind of specify and figure out where we're targeting and why if we create a bucket. Okay.
On to the next.
Good on trails for now? Okay.
We could do this all day. Oh, one point for the flexibility of creating that trail bucket is, again, being able to be opportunistic because there's stuff that has come up since this trail system map has created that are significant, like Salmonberry, that we'd want to be able to consider. So I would want a flexible enough package that it's not, that we can take advantage of opportunistic things, just like the rest of them.
So moving on to the metro capital projects, really around these access projects. As mentioned, the previous bond had no program for metro capital development projects, and no criteria were included in the previous bond that would guide this type of programmatic investment. Nonetheless, the 2006 bond funds were used for development of three new regional nature parks, so Mount Talbert in Happy Valley, Cooper Mountain in Beaverton, and Graham Oaks in Wilsonville were part of the original idea for that 2006 bond. Legislative adoption from council in 2014 included that $29 million for capital development. I also want to make sure to call out that of that $29 million, $7 million was for fish habitat restoration projects at River Island on the Clackamas River, right next to Barton County Park, and that $5 million was for the Willamette Falls Riverwalk project. So those are the projects that are highlighted in bold, those additional, the what was left over from that $12 million or so. Farmington Paddle Launch, which has been opened, Chehalem Phase 1, which is going through its planning phases, Gabbert Butte. As I mentioned, the River Island Restoration Project has been complete. It's amazing if you haven't been out there. Willamette Falls Riverwalk, you all have gotten updates on where that is. Marine Drive Trail, Fennel Creek, Columbia Boulevard Bridge. So these are just some of the examples of some of the new projects or things that have been taken on, again, with that 2014 shift in policy or clarification of opportunity. Allison is going to then ping you all a few more questions. She's doing it. I'll try to stretch and fill in some more while she writes.
I need to read everything, otherwise it doesn't make sense to me, so I just wanted to give that opportunity as well. So some of the things gleaned in the last conversation, and again noting, as John mentioned, that this is a pretty significant gap and that some of this hasn't been really formalized in the past, is looking at some of these ideas, which also overlay quite nicely with what we've already talked about, and investing in new nature parks where people live, trails and pathways that connect people to and within parks and natural areas, so again, that idea of connection, and capital funding that can leverage other urban development and giving Metro the ability to lead or direct some of these capital investments like at Willamette Falls. So this is, again, one of those... What else? What are some of your gut reactions? And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, that this is one of the key questions we'll come back to in our third meeting. So I think this is also an area that staff are recognizing needs some more conversation that we might be able to accomplish in the next 5 minutes or so. But some of your initial thoughts on these ideas, on any questions you might have about capital projects and how they fit in 2006, 2013, 2014?
Go ahead, Councilor Craddock.
Do we have a master plan yet of all the capital projects that we want to build for the future? Has there been one developed?
For each site?
For the region, a master plan for the region.
So this department and agency has not gone through a comprehensive master plan process for that. The system plan was a step in that direction of trying to understand really what's the role that Metro would play. So it helps to lay some really great groundwork and called out racial equity, clean water, habitat, access, thinking regionally, but it was a step further away from sort of that really comprehensive of where and how might we do all of these different projects.
Let me go to Councillor Chase's interest in within the UGB is so, yeah, what's going to be, what do we want to, of the properties that we have, what do we want, which ones are we going to have, create access for, and what, and how would they line up on this particular goal?
And how do we work with the local jurisdictions that have master plans for their cities, for their special districts, and what does it look like to support any potential gaps or enhance any of their projects and plans? So, yeah.
Clarification, and then Juan Carlos has a question.
Are you, I guess I need an explanation. Is the question on the table, since we did not start out any of these bond measures with a capital projects program, is the question on the table is whether there ought to be an explicit capital projects program and what the criteria for that should be?
Our understanding, the direction we've gotten is that there is interest in having that capital project
that
program.
That was prior to, okay.
Yeah.
Because three of us weren't here, so.
Yeah. So, yes, our understanding of the direction has been to continue. There is a lot of interest in taking care of what we have, the Blue Lake, Oxbow, but also completing the master plans for Gabbert, Chehalem, Newell Creek Canyon, some of these other sites. So the question is, the current direction that we've been going, is there something new to add to the criteria, different things you want us to consider? Are these the types of criteria and sort of policy direction of how you want us to help frame the program? And again, we don't have to get into all the details now, but yes, that is the direction we're going.
I want to ask this to Martha and both President Peterson. Is this the point in the conversation where we're supposed to address and or set the sideboards for projects of regional significance that we talked about earlier? Is this where we start to set
the
momentum?
I think staff has set it up that you could, but frankly, John and I have not had a chance to talk, so when he flips out of his chair or does a somersault or something, I apologize sincerely. I think you might want to talk about that separately, because I think you may want components of this measure and components of your transportation measure that both go to the same thing. I also think you may want to a separate process for how would you even identify things like that. But you may want to, as part of this bond measure, sort of say we want to have this program, this bucket that we use towards nature in significant urban areas, but maybe not know other than the Willamette Falls and maybe Albina what those places are yet until you go through the policy conversation of how would you identify them. Have I just made sense or not made sense? You could put it here, but I wouldn't recommend you do because I think it confuses the thing. I think here what you're talking about is how do you make decisions about making capital investments to places that you've already committed to in one way or another.
That's
what I was going to get to. That seems to me where you're going as the prior council, and so I wanted to get that kind of specificity and say, if we're going to invest in the places we already own and in the comprehensive plans that they already have, let's specify that and not actually list out the things in there, because if we're going to create a separate trails bucket, let's create the separate trails bucket. But if there's a trail system within an urban an environment that we already have and it's part of a comprehensive plan, then it should just be eligible and we shouldn't be saying yet what's the prioritization. It's just what lands do we already own that we have comprehensive plans for that we need to build out?
Great. Thank you for the separation. I wanted to flag it to make sure we weren't setting necessarily a precedent for that conversation, or that we would allude to the parameters that we agreed on here and then feeling like we're backtracking in the future. So thank you.
When I was talking about master plan, though, I was John named a bunch of the regional facilities that we have interest in building, but I'd like to take it one step higher It's the same question I asked the other day. You know, when we have another 2 million people here, how much land do we need, really need to protect and have put into the public domain? And the same question needs to occur with these regional facilities. When we're, you know, another couple million people, where do we need regional facilities, and where might they be, and how many do we want? And it's that kind of a question. So we already know we have Newell Creek and we have, you know, Chehalem Ridge, but what else do we need? And I, at some point, I think we need to have that.
Can I get clarification on that comment, though? There's the purchase and acquisition of land, which was the first bucket we talked about. And then there's the capital projects to build out those spaces. So I'm unclear about what, if we take it up another level, are you saying that there's community centers that we would want to? I'm trying to distinguish between.
I think she's trying to say, how do we go about making decisions about some of those things? So, like, for example, in 2013 when we did the levy, we picked a handful of places. And the question I think she's asking is, under what system or what policy framework would we pick the next place for a nature park? I don't think she's suggesting that we move into a new area of park operations.
No, I guess my clarification was, if we have land acquisition over here for new parks and new open space preservation, and we have the capital projects to build out, is that enough?
I think Councillor Craddock is saying, if we buy that new land, are we going to identify capital money to develop it?
Oh.
Like,
okay.
Are we going to build, do we need another nature park in this quadrant, and how much money should we set aside for that, for its development?
How many nature parks do we actually want?
Right, got it.
I would suggest that I would be interested in hearing anyone's ideas on what and where those might be, those as yet unidentified different or new parks. But I would suggest that for this bond measure, if just taking on and completing the projects that we have on this list is a significant lift and would be a laudable goal in itself.
It feels like there's a delicate balance between honoring the work of the past and continuing to fund that, yet also now taking a perspective and approach and investing inside the urban growth boundary and inside urban trail networks, suburban trail networks. So I think I like the point that you're making, Councillor Craddock, in terms of either the framework that you asked about or creating a mechanism for us to assess when do we invest in what and at what point do we kind of create that ratio, not necessarily marrying a percentage point of how we allocate funds, but that's at least how I'm feeling, that there's a tension between the two. Maybe there isn't. Am I reading into it? Does anyone else feel this? Sí o no?
Sí.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a tension, because obviously the things that we're all mentioning and what I'm talking about right now, we this bond measure isn't going to give us, we won't have enough funding to do all that we want to do. But I do think we need to have that dream, that looking into the future of, as this region continues to grow, to make sure that, first, I've said before, that we have enough land to protect those, our streams and uplands. But then adding on to that is, what kind of, in the future, what kind of, how many nature parks do we want and need?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think between the urban growth boundary and urban reserves, we know where we're going to grow within the foreseeable future, the predictable future. So I don't know that it's that much of a mystery. And so if we identify, and I think we've pretty much, for the most part, if you're talking about large nature parks, we've maxed out within the existing boundaries we've got. So I don't know of any big parcel that we're anticipating needing to get in order to be that next big nature park. Don't know that we do. I'd be interested to hear if otherwise.
I think in my mind, you know, we see at least two places on here where we identified we're taking the first bite. We did phase one. well, is it worth investing, you know, across the board in everybody's phase two, or should we be setting aside all the way through completion on several of these and accelerating towards completion and not just step one, step two, step three into perpetuity, mm-hmm. and instead say this place and this place we're going to see through the, you know, however many steps and part of it's that I need to get up to speed on what those, how many phases we have and what the capital investment is. But it might be worth, you know, to answer that question, how many gems are we able to build with one set of funds?
I would also, from my time on the Citizen Stakeholder Committee, there was also talk about some capital deficits in some of our sites that need investment to just bring up to code. So, you know, I've heard, if I remember correctly, anywhere near $60-70 million to make these sites kind of the stellar places we need them to be, in addition to sites that we've already committed funding to. The money starts to, you know, narrow down pretty quickly. So that's another consideration aside from just continuing the phase investments for the future that I remembered from those conversations.
I think what he's saying is reinvest in our existing parks as a criteria for capital. Thank you for letting me do that.
It does seem like a lot of these comments require more information from staff on maybe fleshing out a little bit more where some of these projects are at, what's feasible, or from their analysis, what are some of the gaps that maybe currently exist within diving more into these capital projects that are currently existing, and maybe what's possible. Would that be fair to say that that's information that would be, I see a strong nod here, on something that staff can come back with to give this a little bit more context and have maybe a more robust, a more informed discussion about some of these projects and what's possible if this was included? Because it sounds like there are nodding heads around this being included as a part, building out criteria on this part of a potential bond measure, but more information is needed to have that conversation. Yeah? Okay, I'm seeing nodding heads. Great. So with that, we'll capture this. I think staff will take this and think about putting something together, and maybe, and we'll move on to the next one. We have two more? One more?
Two more.
Two more.
Two more plus.
Two more plus.
Two more plus.
Two more plus.
So the portion of the bond before that's been referred to as local share. As a reminder, these are the criteria that Metro Council gave local park providers for their sort of local share of the program in the 2006 bond. Only projects that met one or more of these criteria were eligible for funding. In the 2006 bond measure, local providers used more than half of their funding for land acquisition. And you can see them up here. It was acquiring natural areas or parks lands, restoring habitat, enhancing public access to natural areas, designing and constructing trails, and providing enhanced environmental educational opportunities. Almost more than half. More than half of the funding went towards
the first one.
Buy land acquisition. Buy land to be able to eventually build or for the trails and things like that.
What was the percentage of local share from the 2006 bond?
It was about 20%, which ended up being $44 million, roughly.
So the question here for discussion is less about addition of criteria, although if you have ideas on things that should be added to that list, I think, again, it's a yes and or a take this off or rethink this. But really, in the conversation from last time, there was a desire to make sure that there were more direct benefits to people out of this next bond measure. So keeping in mind the importance of preserving habitat, conservation, but then the addition of how do people fit into this picture. So with that in mind, are there thoughts, initial reactions that you have on local share and some of these 2006 criteria that you think should be expanded on or added to think about the addition of people into this? And again, if you need some time to sit on this for a little while, that's cool too, but perhaps you have some ideas right
speaking
now.
Speaking as someone who was a local partner at the time when the bond measure came out, and looking at our other regional partners, I think that local jurisdictions their goal for the use of the money was much more around providing access and providing facilities for people than Metro's overall goal, because they didn't really have as a goal, primary goal, preservation of habitat or water quality. It was primarily around producing parks and open space for citizens to be able to use.
I think something that's missing and that the team is going to include regardless, and any money invested needs to work towards our strategic outcomes to advance racial equity in the region. And I think that our partners should be able to make the case and collaborate with local communities to advance that.
I think that's a really good point, and I think then, you know, how does this what is the strategy for the local share criteria in terms of supporting us, the partners in this work, which have a regional agenda, which is all of those regionally significant criteria that we talked about. So if it is parkland or natural areas, is it a pocket park for a very small set of folks? Is it something that's serving instead a equity agenda? Is it something that's serving and available to a larger regional population? Is it something that connects into natural areas at a regional or larger area and it becomes available to folks in neighboring communities? Is it something that enhances the overall, quality of environmental protections for our region? So I think those kinds of criteria, to me, could be something to really look at and strengthen.
So that matching the regional criteria that Metro has with these local share criteria, like making sure that they align?
Mm-hmm. Yes. How does it support those bigger picture strategies that we're going to be lining out?
Just going back, it's. I think every bucket needs its own specificity around this for racial equity. What does it mean when we say, so that our local partners or our regional partners or ourselves completely understand explicitly going in, what is it that we mean? Is it participation in location for discussions, or is it actual access to specific communities? What are we talking about when we say that? Otherwise, if we just say lead with racial equity, I'm not sure that that's enough specificity to actually be able to say we accomplished anything in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and across the board probably. Well, I think in particular with the local share component, because we are communicating, and how are we communicating what it is we actually want that ties into our regional agenda, because we're relying on our partners to move that work forward. So what do we mean by racial equity? What do we mean by regionally significant trails or habitat or other components? You know, how do we actually articulate that?
So the desire to make those explicit in these criteria. What do we mean by racial equity? What do we mean by access?
It may be different for each bucket, or it could be the same. I'm not sure. I just want to make sure that we're addressing it for each of the buckets.
And getting back to that, I want to go back to Councilor Anderson, your comments on the idea that, speaking as a former partner, local share inherently takes into account people. Do you think that that's, is it of your opinion that that should be something that's explicitly made in these criteria? Is that attention to?
I don't know that we need to. It's going to be their. It's going to be their focus.
Okay, so.
So I think our if we need to put sideboards on it, it would be to make sure that their potential goals still meet our regional criteria.
Okay, so again, getting into that line. Okay, thank you for that.
We're not going to need to tell them, you know, this needs to provide access for your citizens. We don't need to tell them that.
Having been one of those partners and reversing my thought process on this, try not to get very specific here. The reason it's so we need specificity in what we look at that is because I believe that there are folks that would say that they have no need to do that. No need to do that. That it's already inherent in some of the things that they do. And really, in fact, it's their access is not considered safe by all communities.
Their access is not
considered safe. places for them to be. So
I couldn't be talking about Gresham.
I could be talking about a lot of different places. But okay. I think the point being it's not just about bringing a diverse set of stakeholders to the table. It's about actually making folks feel safe, no matter where they're at.
So in that comment, I hear something about, there's like something underlying there that's not only being specific about what some of those criteria are, but maybe what the priorities are for Metro. If racial equity is the priority, being very specific about what that means and identifying some of these, this is what we mean by this strategy or this outcome that we're looking for, and these are the most important things that we'd be looking for in that. So specificity, but also for Metro, these are the most important things. Mm-hmm. I know there's something like, it's specificity and, it's specificity plus in what I hear you saying. Is that correct?
Specificity is good enough.
Okay.
I'm just saying that if we leave it too broad, it'll be interpreted so that they don't need to do anything. And they're not doing anything now.
We need to be clear with people so that jurisdiction, so they understand what they need, what hoops need to get jumped through to get the resources, and so they're not surprised down the line that it's on a different path than we were going down, or vice versa, where all of a sudden we've gone down this path with supporting a local jurisdiction that is not meeting the criteria.
And I'm sure that especially when it comes to local parks jurisdictions, there are either elected or non-elected leaders that believe that it is not the Parks and Nature jurisdiction's role to advance racial equity, but a different agency. So I think recognizing the innate responsibility in a parks district or department and aligning to those principles is the kind of explicit definition that we need, because there are certain players in the region, I won't be specific either, but that might not believe that it's their role or their priority to advance it.
There were some jurisdictions that struggled using their local share, and I don't know what else to say about it. I just know there were. And then another thing I'm hearing is I've had a few say, can you raise the percentage? And I'm not suggesting that, but I just want to throw that out there that those are two. One I observed is that some jurisdictions struggle trying to figure out how they're going to use their local share. And so the question is, is that we want to think about that for this next bond measure and what we do. I don't have a suggestion, just want to put that fact out there. And then the notion that some jurisdictions are asking us to raise the local share. And I'm not suggesting it. I just have been asked this. So.
Question, and it's more of a parks question. Providing enhanced environmental educational opportunities. I know that a lot of parks at the city level are more about activating kids' minds around play. I don't know how that fits in. Would we encourage and be a participant in something that creates an environment where they're not just learning through a stiff board, but actually by experimentation with water flow through sand and, like, is that, I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that would already fall under this, and we don't need to be any more explicit.
If there's a desire to call that out in a different way with the experiential versus, you know, classroom, but our nature education program, we have naturalists that are out at the different sites. Some of the previous bond supported the Dock and Nature Park, which has a lot of that sort of experiential, tactile. At Oxbow, we have two new nature play areas. So it is something that is very ingrained and has become more of that how we're trying to provide kids to have those opportunities to really engage with nature. If there's interest in calling out some things explicitly as a criteria, if it doesn't feel like it's in there enough, that's, again, something we as staff can look at if there's interest from the council.
Education was.
You could also educate the parents while the children play.
Pretty broad. I think the previous council really tried to provide maximum flexibility and opportunity while still nesting under this high-level expectations of making this.
So can we get through community grants and then the plus
yes.
in 15 minutes? Okay.
Yes. Where are we? Community grants. So this is the kind of final bucket here. Here are the criteria that were related to the grant program in 2006. As a reminder, this was new, so the 95 bond did not have this community grant program. It was added in the 2006 bond. It accounted for about 7%, 7 or 8%, about $14-15 million. So these are the criteria, and you'll see this is where the Metro Council included additional criteria related to equity. So this is the first place that some of it was really called out more. And some of these projects Metro have funded that we funded have delivered really amazing results. So this is the community grant criteria we add in here.
Allison. I think the question here is very similar to the question that was asked in local share, is, you know, what could the next bond measure do to deliver even more direct benefits to people, recognizing that some of this is just inherent in what's done here? Or would council want to remove some of the previously eligible projects or add new types of projects to be priorities? So some initial thoughts that folks might have on that, how to give more direct benefit to people through these kinds of programs.
I think this is one of the most successful. The funds that were set aside for the community grants is one of the most successful parts of the bond measure. Just like you said, there really were some creative projects that having these funds available that came about that would have never occurred without the ability to have these funds as the first dollar in. And so it definitely we need to continue with this. I don't have any particular suggestions about change. We had categories with greening and nature. Or do you remember the categories?
Re-greening and renature.
Yeah, re-green and renature. And I found coming back to some of the parks that we contribute funding for re-greening and renaturing, the re-greening part I consider a little weak. For example, we paid for plants to be planted. And if it's in a high foot area, particularly for children, the plants don't make it. So I don't know if we want to. I'm probably getting a little too in detail right now, but I'm thinking back about the success of how those funds were used for regreening. Wasn't always successful because the plants wouldn't survive over time, depending on the specific situation.
But is this a place to bring in the DPAFE strategy?
Say it again.
Is this a place to bring in the DPAVE strategy? I know that there's, I know several people across the region where they have worked within their neighborhoods to take parts of parking lots and make them back into parks. So I'm not, would this be the right place if a neighborhood was wanting to do something like that they could apply?
I think it could be, and I think just to remind that we're presenting this information as the buckets from the previous bond. You're not tied to any of those buckets of that notion. That's why you're starting with what are the outcomes that are desired, what are some of the current criteria, and how it gets sort of packaged and whether something falls in this or that. But this, if there's community, these are the community-led
right.
sort of portions, and depaving could fall into
saying,
this.
Could we make it eligible under this?
The last bond measure, these funds were used for depaving.
So we could make it explicit.
I would support that, to expand from just the depaving, which is one strategy. I think that's alluding to a broader theme of reclaiming nature or nature in suburban, urban, or concreted areas. So hopefully, maybe not.
I don't know. I think it sounds like a good one too. And I agree that this is an area where it ain't broke. And so, you know, adding some things sounds fine. I like how it's been working. I think it already meets our regional objectives the way it's developed. Depaving and restoring and reclaiming our natural areas. I like the framework there. This may not be the only place for
right.
it because
right.
it may be a pretty capital intensive in a lot of places, so I just wouldn't want to limit it to only being available to this smaller pot of funds.
Well, the difference between these two programs is obviously the local share. They just local jurisdictions, they just get the money based on population or whatever. Whereas this one, you apply for grant money for specific projects, and you either they either qualify or they don't. So they either get the money or they don't. All these things I see listed here would really, I think, well, all the criteria that's listed on the slide have to do with environmental restoration or enhancement. And I think all those ones I see listed there would all fall under those. That's pretty comprehensive. If we were going to add something to that, based on what we've heard or what we've talked about, we're more prioritizing access. Do we want to add something to the grants criteria that would promote local access to park? That would be something that perhaps we could add. I think in the areas of, if I didn't say so before, I think in the areas of environmental preservation or improvement, I think the existing criteria covers that pretty well.
Yeah.
But we might want to add something to do with to add a criterion that applies directly to creating access.
I'm curious if we can maybe just get a quick temperature check from folks on that idea. Because it sounds like a lot of the feedback is,
I like it. It ain't broke, don't fix it. It seems to be a successful part of a bond, but adding in something like access, would that be something that more counselors would be in favor of?
I think there's two things that we need to consider adding in. From what I've heard, is explicitly stating that if you apply, and we would encourage you to depave or whatever, right? That is part of this program, so we need to explicitly say that, and maybe part of the criteria is that you're increasing access.
But I also like to share as someone that has worked on the other side. I can say that. Nice. And on the other side of the community grants program is the flexibility of what community partners can come together to achieve to both advance these items and racial equity and community needs is pretty fantastic. So I would also encourage us to consider that for our community-based nonprofits and how they interpret this natural area bond to impact local communities as well, which is unique, I guess.
Okay. The appreciation that flexibility is key for some of these partners, but explicitly naming some of the reclaiming nature pieces and then the access piece. Okay, should we keep her moving? All right.
That's pretty much it. Presentation from my end.
On my screen, the order is upside down.
What kind of symbolism is that?
Just making you think, right? And putting this on your head. So we talked again about got some great feedback, helping to clarify some of the outcomes. Specifically, honed in on ways you want to guide the investments around direct benefit to people, knowing that all the acquisition and preservation are extremely important, and this was sort of digging into that people side of things. Next week, we'll be prepared to bring some proposals about where to go next, at least some ideas. I guess I shouldn't just read off of this in case it's something I can't promise. But no, we'll come back with some to get to that last question of any additional questions or ideas that council would like to direct staff to go and explore further as staff with our stakeholder table and all of our different community groups. So we'll be seeking that guidance on the policy direction for where you want us to go next. And with that.
Yeah, so let's talk. We need to actually give you some direction because there was a lot of talk this morning about basically an urban development, right? How do we use and leverage all of our regional investment strategies on the urban development side of things? We have Willamette Falls that is definitely within our discussion and our purview and a priority, but there's going to be other opportunities in the region to partner. And the question is, can you come back, I think, if I'm hearing the council correctly, with a proposal for us to consider about what would a bucket on urban development partnership look like? Obviously, we want Willamette Falls to be eligible for this. Maybe even earmarked.
But what other things would we want to leverage as a region based on the goals that we have as Uber Metro from our money that goes into open space conservation, the purchase of those lands that are doing that? What else can we get out of it?
So can I let me refine it, because I think you guys had a conversation particular to this bond this morning, which is really about what's the role of this bond in the categories that we talked about: habitat, water quality, access to nature, as part of the urban development that's happening. So could this bond help bring nature into some of those town center, regional center developments along waterways in the region, so that nature is inherently included and incorporated into the redevelopment of these regional and town centers? Is that right?
Yeah, again, I think we've been implicitly doing some of this within
right.
the work that we do with around the region, and it's explicitly creating a program to accomplish it. And I would just ask that we bring back a proposal, because there needs to be a lot more discussion on it about the different pieces and parcels that you are all going to dig into and find that there's a lot of policy that need to be discussed.
You'd like that by the 29th?
Yep.
Okay. Good. Yes. And using the kind of the format I think that you shared with folks to suggest, I think I saw a document around sort of council projects or different proposals. I guess I'm trying to think of
I think we ought to think about the same kind of, if the council were to give us direction to create this bucket, what are the criteria and what types of projects are we talking about? And I think we can work off of what they did today in terms of the guidance they gave us to do this. Now, obviously, we'll have some refinement to go, and I think we'd want to talk with the council about the role of the stakeholder table in vetting this proposed program, and so we'd want to get your direction on that, council, so start thinking about that now. But I think we can come back with, say, if you wanted to incorporate nature into these urban redevelopments, here's the criteria we would suggest you apply to making those decisions. Is that okay?
Here are the things that we're looking to leverage. So we're willing to participate, but here are the things we want to see as part of a complete community.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that brings in a whole lot of partners within Metro just to help create that conversation. Is that amenable to everybody? Because that's what I heard this morning. Okay.
As for suggestions for other potential lenses to interpret outcomes for the bond, would the conversation next week be a better forum to have those, looking at the questions, or another lens to look at? I'm thinking about environmental justice outcomes and climate change, greenhouse gases, and how this can work towards those goals as well. Would we better to talk about that next week than today?
No. We should talk about it now.
I've been hoping somebody wanted to talk about their climate goals related to this bond, so go for it.
Well, I would just like to see, I guess, from staff, aside from the more traditional, of course, protecting our water and our air and our habitats, thinking about how this investment can also leverage other investments that we'll be making in the future, whether it's through land use leadership, whether it's through transportation, climate smart, et cetera.
So can I
welcome that? I know it's a little ambiguous. I don't really have a form.
I've got about 4 points to try and summarize. You want me to try? And then you all tell me if I hit the market or not. I'm not worried about you not telling me. All right. The first is how to apply racial equity to all buckets, and I would add in, let's have a conversation also about climate change. So let's have the specificity around in each bucket. What does this mean? Because it might be different. I'm not envisioning where we have a standard one-all unique one-off. I don't think that's going to happen, but maybe it will. But come back with language for each bucket. Second would be how to apply a performance metric of what it means to access in targeted areas. Kind of in that urban, rural, suburban, urban, suburban, rural framework for each of the buckets when we're talking about whether it's the trails, whether it's urban development, or the local share. I think we should be more specific, right?
what I heard. How to create a new trails bucket inside, outside the urban growth boundary. And then how to create an urban development program to leverage not just the protection of open space and habitat conservation, but affordable housing, transport. Like, what is that complete community that we're trying to leverage when we talk about being a partner in an urban development? That's what I took away from this conversation. What did I miss? There were some very specific things embedded in here.
Yeah, there's
from individuals, and I'm not sure how to tackle those.
Mm-hmm. I think some of those desires for more information we've captured on some of the flip chart on whether that's looking at the urban growth boundary and inside and outside and some of that future thinking. There was a request early on for some technical information from staff on what some of these could mean. And then we had a pretty big one. On trails, so a desire to talk a little bit more about trails and to have something that really fleshes out some of this stuff on trails.
That was the third bullet. That was the third bullet, to create a program, come back with a proposal. No. But you're totally on.
Yep.
Yep.
I know it's getting late and we're all kind of wearing out here, but I'll use an example that came up when we in the capital grants for the 2006 bond measure regarding development. And so there was a development occurring. We're using TOD dollars for it, and they had asked if we could use the natural areas funds to help with some of the plantings at the development, and there was a little hoo-ha over it because we were just going to help this developer out and give him money so he could, or was it really going to make a difference in greening and renaturing? And so, I mean, that's something we have to think about, because I think what came up in the discussion was if the money that came from the bond measure would help with their stormwater, where that could really make a difference. But when you give them money to plant some plants in their foyer, the open space or their entry, then that doesn't achieve our goals. And so I think that's just an example of what we've got to consider on how you use these funds when it comes to housing. And so
that's a really good point. And the point that I did miss was the fleshing out the capital projects and what would be our priorities within our already existing and any future. Okay. I think we made real progress.
Maybe just is a little temperature check. Is there anything that anybody feels has, aside from being quite warm?
It'll be too cold in the winter.
Do the points underscored by the council president accurately reflect your thoughts coming away from this discussion today? Great.
I appreciate, we've really fine-tuned this a lot. I appreciate that, so thank you.
Thoughts from other, I see nodding. Cool. Great, thank you.
Awesome. We actually have the rest of an agenda, but it should go pretty fast. So thank you, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good progress forward. Quickly, Martha, communications.
Yeah, John, before you leave, do you want to tell everybody about the Regional Trails Forum?
Yes.
You mentioned it, but I thought you all might want to know, partially because there's people in the building tomorrow.
Tomorrow here from 2 to 4 is in this room will be the Regional Trails Forum. It's a quarterly opportunity. You get to hear a bunch of different updates on projects that are happening across the region, across the state. A couple of our staff are hoping to lead that, so folks are interested in seeing that. It's a great opportunity to learn more about the regional trails planning community and efforts that are happening there.
And my understanding is that Tryon Creek Cove Trail will be talked about, and I know you've had some citizen communication from some folks about that. So if you're interested, make sure.
Tryon Creek what trail?
Tryon Creek Cove Trail. I think that's a code for Twilliger over Highway 43, but or under or something like that.
Under.
Okay.
Sewage treatment plant.
Along the side of the...
Right,
yes,
near there.
Yes. The other thing is I want to make sure you saw Paul Simon's email about the RFP process for Metro South starting in January 2020. I wanted you to make sure you read that email, but because you are the local contract review board, if you have any bidder that files a protest after we issue a notice to intent to award, you become essentially judicial body over that appeal. So if you get contacted by folks who might be thinking about proposing on Metro South, you probably should say, thank you so much for contacting me, and I really can't talk with you about this particular proposal. If you have questions, please see Nathan, because Nathan and his staff will help you navigate it. And then last but not least, I'm going to be at the Clark College Middle School Jazz Festival Thursday afternoon, so Andrew will be sitting in my chair. I know you're going to have a long discussion about the T2020, and you're in good hands. So please wish Beaumont Middle School all the best of luck. Have a good time.
Counselor Communications.
I've been in meetings with you all week.
Randy all ragged. All right.
I do have something to share more on the personal, not personal, but my, the District 4 office side, I guess. I was invited by a group and a coalition of justice organizations of color working on a climate change agenda in the state to endorse an Oregon Green New Deal proposal, and I decided to personally endorse and sign on to that, basically working to advance clean energy jobs, clean energy transportation, etc., and I did that as an individual, and Ramona suggested that I announce that today. So we can talk more offline, but I just want to let you know, don't be surprised if you're like, oh my goodness, I know that name.
All right, thank you. Anything else?
I just wanted to share, over the weekend, I was able to attend the League of Cities new elected training in Baker City and met many new local electeds who come from very different environments and jurisdictions than ours, but we found much in common, particularly in discussions around stability of local funding and community visioning and inclusivity. So it was at the chair or president's suggestion that I went, and Baker City was a great place. I recommend you all visit.
Did you stay at the Grand Hotel?
I did.
That's nice.
Anything else? All right, for the good of the order, thank you. We're adjourned. Mm-hmm.